Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Ecasinomics is brought to you by PayFast by Network. Always open for payments so you can be too. Sign up at payfast.io.
Ecasinomics on Kaya Biz.
If you've just joined us, we're looking forward to having a conversation with many entrepreneurs who are going to give us some insight into their journey, their growth, and doing so in a world that has managed to evolve, especially when it comes to electric vehicles. So tonight, next time you take a look at many delivery vehicles that might be making their way to your gate, estate, complex, delivering some goods, just pay a bit more attention as to what kind of fuel or energy that vehicle is using. I ask this because for one particular vehicle brand, or rather retailer, Woolworths, we've seen them actively participate in making sure that they use new energy vehicles that typically charge their batteries, no longer rely too heavily on fuel like petrol or diesel, to make sure that their vehicles can be used. And one such individual who is behind some of these solutions and partnerships with these key big companies is Ndiya Magadagela, CEO and co-founder of Ever Electric, to tell us more about the growth in their business and, most importantly, being a key partner to the Woolworths electrification fleet since 2022. Ndiya, such a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Good evening, Gugu, and to your listeners.
I'm excited to speak to you. I hope I got the pronunciation of your last name correct.
You did well. Thank you.
Thank
One
you.
Of the few. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a phenomenal story when it comes to entrepreneurship and just exactly how you started. And I think before we talk about the partnership with Woolworths and the various funds that have supported you in your growth, maybe let's just start off with being an entrepreneur, not only in the automotive space, but in the new energy vehicles automotive space. This is quite disruptive, especially for a market like South Africa.
Mm-hmm. No, most definitely. And you can imagine, Gugu, when we started just under 6 years ago now, we thought we were just going to hit the ground running, but we realized that maybe we were a bit early as well. So it's been an interesting journey, but, we're sitting here now kind of looking back and thinking, at least our clients get it. You mentioned Woolworths. We've got other clients as well in the fleet space. I think the efficiencies of electric vehicles have spoken for themselves. The ESG commitments that our clients have made, they can then make good on those promises. So yes, it's tough to be a business owner, but I think over time we are really starting to see our solution take off.
Yeah, and you're right. Tough times, but boy, oh boy, have you been resilient. Looking at your bio, Ndiya, I do see you have more than 14 years of experience in deal structuring, due diligence, investigations, and that also led to, you really leading the charge in the transition of South African logistics to electric mobility. These are big words. I wonder what you say to your grandmother when you explain what you do.
But yeah, yes.
But on that note,
and
think
try
is,
saying it in Venda,
right?
Well.
Oh, Karadzianga. Ah, I can imagine the complexity that exists. And I think this is important because it almost speaks to like a convergence of understanding several sectors and industries and their points of intersection. But most importantly, then identifying the opportunity that exists. And not many people can do that incredibly well to such an extent that they fully execute on it.
Yeah, I think over time we've really learned to take what might seem like a complicated a concept and make it easy, especially for our clients, because the long and the short of it is that we are doing well for the planet and we are providing a service that allows our clients to go electric or to decarbonize with as less headaches as possible. Really, that is the long and the short of the story and how we have sort of made the offering easily understandable to our clients and to everybody at large.
You definitely have made it easy, accessible, and it's something that we're experiencing. So from what I understand, Ever Electric was launched in 2022. You've essentially powered the Woolworths shift to electric delivery vans, and today we see them navigating the roads and expanding even further. I'm quite keen, when we take a look at the journey regarding logistics in South Africa, and of just the costs associated with it. How has that shifted given your focus on new energy vehicles and it being a lot more profitable and sustainable also from an environmental point of view?
Yes, so and that's a very important question. So, you know, we'll talk about decarbonization and the greening agenda. The most important thing also for the rent, our clients saving money running their fleet. That's Lions Group. We have put together a solution that is a full maintenance lease solution, providing vehicles, charging infrastructure, a connected back end, all the maintenance that our clients will need to make it accessible, but also to for them to save money. And you say that we were incorporated, we started in 2022. That's actually when we started commercializing the solution. The idea starts in around 2020 or the end of 2019, where we're looking into what electric mobility would look like for fleets in South Africa. And what we started with was actually running a proof of concept with the likes of Woolworths and another client to see whether the solution works for South Africa. So over time, we've actually learned the lessons. We have also kind of honed into, you know, providing this service with as less headaches for our clients as possible.
Got you. And I think this is so important, as you say, because you put in the work, you drew up the research, you created the necessary supporting backbone infrastructure for these vehicles, and then partnered with a significant retail leader like Woolworths. How did that come about as well? And I ask this because typically as entrepreneurs, we often say we want access to markets, we want the big procurement deals, but we often fail to really present our value proposition to big business. How did you navigate that landscape? And are there some learnings you can share with us here?
Most definitely. And you're very right. I mean, as entrepreneurs, we exist to solve a problem. So we were very deliberate when we put together the solution that we will first approach the market where it's important for those clients, for instance, for Woolworths that we're talking about here, that, you know, it is important to them to be a green retailer, to be sustainable in their approach to business. And so in providing the solution to them, it was more like solving a problem that they had, in that they were looking at what sustainability looks like for them, what decarbonization looks like, and part of that was their transportation of goods, that also that should also be green and sustainable. So when we were thinking about how to solve that problem, we had the likes of Woolworths in mind, in that we will provide them the solution that allows them to decarbonize, but not only that, also make sense from a rents and cents point of view.
Yes.
And I mean, really to your question about entrepreneurship and access to markets, I have found that, yes, it's not as easy as the doors opening for you. I mean, even the clients that we're talking about, we have tested with one vehicle at a time. For a year, we ran in the fleet with just one or two vehicles, and over time, they've seen the value of it and grew their fleet. It really is about being very deliberate that the solution you bring or the widget that you sell is solving a problem.
Yeah, 100%. You're quite right. Solve for a problem, bring about the necessary solutions, and then actively engage to mitigate the risk. I'm thinking of, you know, where we were back in 2022, and there was a time when load shedding was a very clear reality for us, India.
Yes.
But at least it's now a day's gone by. But I can imagine that having to set up the alternative energy power stations, making sure that they're in the right spaces and places where even Woolworths as a retailer would want to expand, where customers are, this must have proven to be, you know, fairly problematic. So how did you navigate that journey?
Thank you for that question. And it wouldn't be an interview about EVs without talking about the load shedding story. But you know what we learned, because yes, indeed, in 2022, and also, I mean, when we started, we were probably at stage six of load shedding. What that did, because again, entrepreneurs exist to solve a problem. We then built this connected back end for our clients, where our clients know when to charge, linked to the load shedding schedule. Also, you know, as far as possible, we charge off solar. So when we were presented with a challenge, which was the availability of energy. We innovated around what can be done to solve that problem. And not only that, also give our clients the comfort that they will be able to do their deliveries even if they do go with an electric vehicle. So because of that, we have a connected back end. Our clients know when to charge, where to charge, where there is power. They also do charge of solar. For most part, so with the challenge, we just worked around it, and we can proudly say, we've done more than 8 million kilometers on South African roads in our electric vehicles, and not once have we run out of charge because our clients couldn't charge because of load shedding or because of a power outage.
Not
we
once.
Can proudly say we've had 100% operational time outside of potholes, of course, but as it comes to energy, we have no issue.
Our solution. 100%. Well done on that, by the way. It's not very many industries or businesses that can actively say that, where the one thing that is viewed as a threat is actually mitigated against. And now you're dealing with potholes. But wait until we find a solution for that. Ndiya, I also want to get to the point where, as an entrepreneur, you're a chartered accountant by profession. So you're someone who really knows how to manage your numbers. And that's important because being an entrepreneur, working with big business, trying to drive scale and growth within your organization also comes with the desire to get capital. And this is also part of your journey where you've managed to secure venture capital funding from Vumela Fund at some point to help accelerate your growth. And I think this is important for us to touch on, right? Because so many of us think, venture capital, they want equity. Private equity, they want equity. Or they'll pump in the money, but I really need to make sure that I'm positioned as a unicorn and high growth startup. Talk to us, about some of the lessons you've learned and endured in terms of how best to position your business. And of course, then, managing the finances to ensure that you really do see the end results and returns, internal rate of return that you require.
Yeah, thank you for that question. And maybe just on the Vumela piece, yes, we did raise venture debt with them. So it's
venture debt.
Gotcha. It's a debt facility. But yes, your point still stands on the equity part. So if we had to rewind this movie a little bit, when we started out, yes, we went out looking for capital. It must have taken 2 years for us to get any external capital. Whoa. I mean, we bootstrapped for probably 2.5 years before we could get any external equity, and eventually we did get equity funding from Sakumnoto Group Holdings, and then as well as Enrich Capital, which is based in Pretoria. But the journey to move from bootstrapping to actually raising the equity was long and it was painful, and then eventually we have raised debt now. But I think the lessons that we have learned over the time is, one, it is important to understand the rens and the sens. And when I say that, it really just about being very diligent in how you separate your own personal life from the life of the business or from the books of the business. Because at the end of the day, when an investor comes in, they want to see that you are running your business as a separate entity from yourself. But secondly, I would say that the other lesson that I learned is, do not be afraid to start small. We started with zero vehicles. We then had 5 vehicles on the road running a proof of concept, and almost like when we were proving out the concept, it was exactly that gave the funders, eventually when we did meet them and they approved our funding, it gave them that comfort that we knew how to take care of a smaller number of fleet, which was, 5 when we started. And then at some point with the Woolworths expansion, we went to about 40 vehicles. And now, we are sitting at a fleet of over 200. But the point is, even when we started small with the 5 vehicles, that was important to give our funders or our prospective funders the comfort that we've got it on lockdown, the business and how it should run.
100%. Firstly, congratulations, Ndiya. You've done immensely well. 5 vehicles in your fleet to well over 200. And if I'm not mistaken, you're also expanding this now to other provinces in Gauteng, in the country, specifically the Western Cape, if I'm not mistaken.
So yes, indeed. So what we realized, we started out in Gauteng. Our head office is actually in Pretoria. And as the fleet was growing, as the fleets that we were actually supporting was growing, we started to realize that the Western Cape is actually probably the next area of growth in terms of location for us. And this was because we had just, I think, over 40 vehicles in that province. And so because of that, we thought, you know what, it makes sense to go closer to our clients and to just give them the comfort that we are in the area should they need their vehicles maintained. They don't have to wait for us to come or send a technician from Gauteng to come and service them. So that's exactly what it is for us. It really is an expansion, an operational expansion, but it's also a statement of intent, you know, just showing that we are committed to helping fleets build a cleaner and more inclusive transport future for our country. So yes, Western Cape, we launched on Monday in Paden Island in Cape Town, and I do think that the next expansion will probably be in KwaZulu-Natal.
I was just about to say, Ndia, whenever I am in KZN, I always marvel at the trucks on the road, how they move from the ports up the N3 to various other cities and distribution centers across the country. And we know the impact that they have on our environment, right? Because trucks are heavy, you know. But even beyond just the big trucks, I'm assuming other forms of fleet management do require a review to make sure that they're sustainable, they're safe, and do also lead to the necessary productivity that big businesses need. But when you look at the future opportunities that exist when it comes to electric vehicles or new energy vehicles and fleet management, trucks, I can imagine, will require a lot of energy and several stops. But what does it look like going forward? Because I'm also aware that there's a theme and concept around the shared economy and sharing that is coming through for corporate clients who don't want the hassle of maintaining a vehicle, but just want to make sure that it's clean, it's in order, it's functional, and it delivers its goods on time.
Gugu, you get it. And you're drinking the Kool-Aid with me. So when we look at our business, really, that shared asset economy, those global mega trends towards sharing assets is exactly what we are seeing. It's also a global mega trend to electrification of mobility. We're seeing, technology getting even better and better, battery technologies getting better, but also the ranges are getting longer. Yeah. And also we are seeing that, the electrification of even bigger vehicles is possible. You would have seen that Volvo has trucks that yes. are upwards of 50 ton, etc. So that is a reality. I think, we were speaking about KwaZulu-Natal and you're talking about the trucks. That's exactly it. That's where we see our growth coming from. Yes, it might be that in the meantime, or right now, we will be growing probably to more the urban areas, just given the fact that the infrastructure is there. Charging infrastructure, it's easier to install. But over time, we are going to start to see charge operators even on the main corridors of the national roads. And with that, then, electric mobility even becomes possible for, say, the N4, the N3, the N1, and not just only in the urban area. So that's where we see the growth coming from. Firstly, from, smaller vehicles, light delivery vehicles, but all the way up to your bigger vehicles. It's definitely coming.
Definitely. Ndia, I'm happy to be your intern. I feel I can learn so much from you. Because my next question then actually relates to, as you say, light delivery vehicles. And we've been seeing interesting shifts when it comes to the automotive industry in South Africa and manufacturers. Mm-hmm. Some of them struggling, closing down, or perhaps reducing their options and growth prospects. And of course, the strong gains that have been made by the Chinese automotive manufacturers mm-hmm. within the consumer segment largely. Are we seeing a similar theme also developing when it comes to light delivery vehicles? And if that's the case, an uncomfortable question, but then how do we close the loop on making sure that manufacturing parts, aftermarket maintenance of the vehicle, after sales markets of maintenance of the vehicle is still something that can be localized so that the ripple effects are still felt throughout the economy?
Yes, you're very right. And I think it is something that pains me that indeed as South Africa, You know, I wonder if we are not dragging our feet in terms of playing in this value chain. You know, you mentioned that the Chinese manufacturers are, I mean, they're coming in big into the country. And if we make decisions quicker and we, you know, we are resolute as to how we want a piece of the pie, then we will see that we've got a place to play. We, you know, why are we not manufacturing batteries locally, yes, for instance? Mm-hmm. Why are we not manufacturing electric vehicles locally? Yes, we've heard about certain OEMs, you know, having their hybrid lines in South Africa. But, you know, just looking at where we export our vehicles to as South Africa, and what those markets have said to us about, you know, new energy vehicles by, you know, 2035, etc. Why is it that we are not moving quicker? And I mean, I know there's a white paper, there's all of that, but the point is, why are we not moving quicker to just secure a place in the market so that we can localize a lot of these things? Also, the skills training, Google, that are there, say, TVET colleges, yes, that are now looking at training for electric vehicle, high voltage technicians, electrical engineers. Can we really say they are those centers of excellence? Yes, you know, as Maxus, as Electric, we do have a center of excellence. Cape Town, we've just opened, is also a center of excellence. So on the job training is available, but are we not missing out on that opportunity as a country, yeah, to play a bigger role in this emerging economy or market for electric vehicles? So yes, it really pains my heart that we have to import as much as we do.
This is so important, India. I definitely, definitely hope that you know, the conversations, the suggestions that you make to the white paper and industry at large really do follow through with the outcomes we need. Congratulations again on the phenomenal work that you've done, and for really opening up our eyes and enlightening us to a new space that's really ripe for development that we all need to participate in. India, such a pleasure having you. Ndolibonga manda karadziyanga.
Ndolibuwa. Thank you so much, Gugu. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Ndiya Magadagela, CEO and co-founder of Everlectric. As you've heard, new energy vehicles, electric vehicles, essentially helping us with light delivery, and a key partnership that they established with Woolworths back in 2022. Working in their growth and in terms of their favor. Started off with a fleet of five vehicles, bootstrapped to make their way to raise debt, and of course from their additional capital to grow the business, and now with a fleet of well over 200 vehicles. If there's anything that shows us that as entrepreneurs, we can be innovative, we can drive solutions, and most importantly, really shift the landscape when it comes to new industries, this is indicative of it. Follow through on her story. Everlectric, Ndiya Magadagela.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.